Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show is the 2025 PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando and an unexpected LinkedIn chat with a world ambassador and Hall of Famer. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. In the world, you got doing great things with the foundation, and I mean, I don't know how you have time. Will's this great golfer now. I mean, you got so many things going on. You should hold a master class in business.
No. I'm going to stick to my core competency. No, I mean, it's fun. I have a good time doing it. I mean, just happy to continue to be, you know, to have my foot in the game, whether it's through the foundation to inspire the next generation, or, you know, with our son Will to, you know, make sure that he gets to play and compete and have a good time. So, and then, you know, I throw in a few golf tournaments myself. So, yeah, there's no slowing down here.
No, you're busier now than you've probably ever been. And, you know, the foundation is one thing. Now you have somebody really spearheading that. It doesn't have to be you. You're traveling around. You're starting new tournaments around the world and doing things like that. But you're balancing the family. Like, this little Will guy is quite the player.
Yeah, no, I just love that he enjoys it so much. You know, he just has a passion for the sport, you know, hitting different shots and playing different courses. I mean, he's really a student of the game, and love to see that he just, I mean, this is authentic. I mean, it's his loving. I mean, of course, we introduced him to the sport, and you know, I'm being out there with him, but he's really picked it up on his own. I mean, if I'm not there, he heads out anyway and go practice and play. As a matter of fact, I have to go find him when it's dark in the middle of a school week. I have to find him on my phone and tell him it's dinner time and it's, you know, time for homework. So it's just nice that, you know, you find a hobby you like.
You're the mom, but does he realize you're the legend?
Not so often. I mean, I am his mom, and I would say that's 90%, and that's the role that I, you know, very proud of and take, you know, most seriously. And, you know, once in a while he would, you know, throw out questions, and when he's ready for feedback, whether it's a technical question or maybe it's, you know, about a golf course or about a tournament. And also, I mean, he's kind of a walking Wikipedia, so he would ask me a lot of questions. I realize I don't, you know, I follow golf, but I don't remember who finished, you know, third, you know, 1989 at a PGA championship, but he does. So he's just kind of giving us, you know, golf is, he's giving it a little more boost in our family again, because now it's, you know, this is all he wants to do.
I don't know. I always remember you remembering a lot of things about tournaments. So I don't know why, you know, well, you took that turn, but I can see, you know, inspiring, and it's great to see Will be as successful on the junior tours as he has been. It's great to run into you anytime. I'm not surprised to see you here at the PGA Merchandise Show. Legend honoring another legend, Ely Callaway, and you've been with Callaway since you're an amateur, basically,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, it was amazing. I mean, it's been, you know, he's not been with us for over 20 years, but when this kind of, the concept of the project of the book kind of came about, I was like, wow, this is cool. I mean, he meant so much to me, and, you know, Callaway was there from the beginning, and he gave me the start that I needed, and so I wanted to be part of this project, and, you know, just to kind of refresh my memory on the stories, and then to sit here on this panel to make the announcement about the book, and, I mean, I don't know about you, but it was I mean, I felt like he was here. This AI is, you know, is fascinating, is amazing, but it's also a little creepy because that's how he sounded. I remember this is how he would talk to me, and I felt like he was there. Everything was coming back. So, yeah, it's, you know, as you know, he's been a trailblazer in this industry, and you're right. I've been with Callaway since 1992, so it's the only club manufacturing company I've been with. So it brings back a lot of memories.
It was really eerie for me because I've been doing my national radio show long enough to have had him on my show as a guest. And I remember him saying distinctly, Keith, I just need him to hit one good shot. And I got him. And Mr. Callaway, one good shot. Personally, I need three or four. I don't know about that. No, just one shot, one good shot. And they'll keep coming back. And I always found that astounding. But he was such beyond a fortune teller. I mean, he was just so far ahead in everything that he touched, and it was, you know, amazing to sit, to have a chance to sit with him at the PGA show or have him on the national radio show or whenever, just to be in his presence. And I never came to really appreciate it, but every year that goes by that he's not been around, to be fortunate enough, and you being even more fortunate to have that man or been around him or known him, it's just astounding, because this industry continues to morph, but there's nothing like the days of Ely Callaway.
Yeah, no, I think you summarized it. I mean, we know, all know that golf is, you know, game. It's, we have history, and there's, you know, culture or just manners or whatever etiquette in this game of golf. But, you know, technology nowadays is, you know, it's just advancing the sport so quickly. But I think it's nice to have a little bit of a kind of looking back. When he, today was one of those days, like, wow, you know, this, he was a pioneer, and at that time it was a big deal, and he was, I mean, I think David Ledbetter said he's a visionary, and it's one of the most incredible visionaries, and then he had courage, and then, but on top of that, he was very kind. It was never really, I never felt like it was a self, you know, self-gaining business or anything. He was always more concerned about his staff, and I don't know, he was just really cool. So it just warms my heart to be able to find that connection again and really kind of relive it, even if it was just for a little bit, but it brings back memories. And I'm so glad we can share with others that maybe didn't have the chance to meet him.
Well, you know, the one thing about him, they talk about him being a visionary. It's one thing what he did with the golf industry, but he found Annika Stormstam, somebody he wanted to add to his staff. One of the greatest golfers ever. I know you're standing next to me as I'm telling you this. Nobody's, you know, ever told you that before, that you know that you're one of the greatest golfers, which is an understatement, because what you did for not just women's game or the LPGA, but for golf in general, you're still an ambassador. People come up and they want to be around you. They want to, you know, experience the great Annika Stormstam, and that has a lot to do with Ely Callaway.
Absolutely, I think. I mean, he gave me the start. I mean, he gave me confidence, because, you know, they believed in me, and at that time he could have probably picked any golfer. I mean, he did pick a few golfers, but I was one of them. And for him to, you know, invest in me and support me, and like I said up on the stage there, I mean, I felt like he was my, you know, American grandpa. I mean, I'd go over and have dinner with him, and he would talk, and he would always say, whatever you need, I don't want you to worry about anything outside, you know, outside the ropes. Just you play, and I take care of the rest. And I think, you know, that is so comforting for somebody starting out, you know, in the big professional world, you know, not knowing what a career will be like. So I felt like I really had a solid foundation with them. And obviously, like I said, I've been with them since the very beginning and seen the evolution. And now today was kind of cool to relive it for a little moment.
Well, I ran into a mutual friend of ours, in Kai Fuser, who knows a little bit about your golf swing, and just still to this day talks about how free and easy and how eloquent that swing is.
Well, those were the times. Now it doesn't feel as easy. I'm still working on it, still fine-tuning it. I have a tournament next week, and it's amazing. Yeah, I've been in this game for a long time and still trying to think about the turn or the grip or the impact. It never ends, but I think that's why we love the sport so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for spending time with us. The great Annika Stormstam on TW Keith Jones.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Keith. Thank you.
And we're here in Orlando at the PGA Merchandise Show, and we ran into Paul Guzman. He's the VP for a company called Bat Caddy, and it's crazy because it's actually a golf cart. You know, so you want to walk around, well, you don't have to really walk around and pull the cart. It kind of follows you. Well, you have options. Paul, first of all, great to see you again.
Good to see you too, Keith.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And tell everybody about this evolution that's going on in California with Bat Caddy.
Right on. Thank you. It is an evolution. It's our newest series. It evolved from our old X Series line of electric-powered golf push carts. And what we really did, we got the tagline this year, designed with real intelligence. And what that means is we went out and got the feedback from our customers. We've had our caddies for a long time. And we asked them what they wanted. And what they wanted was lightweight, compact, easy to put in and out of the car with long battery life. And that's the caddy that we built and that we call the Evo 2 today. It's really great. It comes in at 26 pounds. It folds down to less than 3 inches, has a 36-hole battery that recharges in 3 to 4 hours. It's just a tremendous product that makes it really easy to golf out on the course and play the best golf that you can play.
Yeah, but I look at this cart, and then I see it kind of put that. It doesn't condense. I mean, it comes apart. It's like you want to, you know, usually you fold it down, you try to jam it in the back of your vehicle. Hopefully it's big enough. The vehicle is big enough for the golf cart. But all I look over and see a bunch of parts, like it's part of a puzzle, or somebody dismantled your product, and I feel bad for you, Paul. That's like what I thought initially. So
I've got all the tools. So really, the cool thing about the caddy is that you can fold it down, just the handle fold down, and put it in the back of your cart like you do any old push cart. If you want to take the whole 10 seconds to take a couple of the quick release wheels off, it all folds flat and fits into that 3-inch package.
And the packaging itself, is it laid out so you know, are there slots? You know where the tires go, you know where everything goes? Is it like that, or you just kind of get it into the bag?
It really depends on the kind of person that you are, Keith, but for me, I like to put stuff where it goes. So we've got straps in there and a couple of padded pockets for the battery and different things. It's all real intuitive, the way that it's put together and is meant to store.
Well, that caddy, it's a great logo, it's a great name and such, but what sets it apart from, I mean, there are so many of these push and automated carts that have come onto the market in the last couple of years. I remember, you know, sitting down with you and talking last year about the segment of the marketplace, and it seems that people are still coming out with new things.
Absolutely. It's gaining more and more popularity all the time. More people are walking rounds than ever before. More people are health conscious about it, and more people want to play better golf while they do it. So they're understanding that not having to carry a bag or having to push a cart around manually leaves them fresher for the back nine, and they're shooting better scores. The biggest difference for us that sets us apart from our market, as far as fully featured carts go in that space, we're the lightest by almost 40%, right? We make it really easy to handle, move around, get in and out of your car. The battery technology is better than anything else that's out there. And we put it, like I said, in a package that's super compact. It makes it simple to take with you home and away if your course doesn't want to store your caddy for you.
Let's talk about the battery power, because that's sure. You know, you talk about EVs all the time with the cars and the batteries. No, you can't get to New York State from North Carolina because you have to stop and charge it 3 times and you have to stay there for 5 hours to charge it and everything else. You know, that brings it on over to the golf cart. So you see a lot of technology involved with the batteries for the electric carts, but what is it?
Well, there's a lot of lithium ion technology out there. We use an advanced setup in our batteries, and the biggest advantage of that is most of your lithium batteries the size of ours are going to give you 36 holes per charge. A standard lithium ion battery is good for 400 to 500 charging cycles. Our batteries are good for 1500 to 2000 charging cycles. So it's a value add when you get one of our carts, as far as the only part you have to replace on these caddies in 5 years is the battery. And you can keep doing that and replacing the battery and keep the same caddy and not have the full expense of the caddy every 5 years.
So you have, that's your only expense except for the purchase of the unit, obviously.
Correct.
When you switch out a battery, is there anything special that you have to do? Obviously, you can't just throw the battery in the trash. Some people might want to do that, but that's not what you're supposed to do.
Please take it to your hazardous waste disposal in your city. But no, it's as simple as ordering another battery from Backcaddy, and it shows up in the mail, and you plug it in, and you're good to go.
All right, so price points, we have to talk about that, because our listeners are going to say, okay, this is a great product and everything else. I need one, but what's it going to cost me?
The remote version of the Evo 2 retails for $1,499.95. We're going to have a follow version come out in the spring that'll actually follow you around the course. That's going to retail for $1,999.95.
And that's certainly in the marketplace that sits right in the middle, or what people can spend thousands of dollars on a cart?
Absolutely. There's carts out there. We have a range of carts that start anywhere from $700 all the way up to that $2,000. The market for mainstream is right around $1,500 for a remote control caddy with all the features. We do also offer a caddy that starts for under $1,000 that's fully remote control. It just doesn't have some of the tech features like auto tracking, anti-tip assist, downhill speed control, and electronic parking brake.
I told you he knew what he was talking about. Paul, it's great to see you. Paul Guzman from Bat Caddy. We're on Teed Up with Keith Jones.
Hoorah! Semper Fi, do or die. Hold 'em high at 8 tonight. This is Gunnery Sergeant R. Lee Ermey from the film Full Metal Jacket. Tee it up with Keith Jones. Hoorah!
Hi, this is Dick Ruggie, the Senior Technical Director of the United States Golf Association, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
All right, so you come to the PGA Merchandise Show where we're coming to you this week with our show, and you run into a tennis apparel company, and I don't get it, but we're going to introduce you to Matt Feuer. He's the CEO, the new owner, because he's had this company for less than a year. It's called Boast. It was started back in the 70s, and apparently Matt wore this as he played tennis collectively and successfully. I don't know. Let's first welcome Matt to the show. Thanks for sticking around for us.
No, thank you for coming over and giving a little activity to our booth. So it's fun.
Well, I've known Rich Katz for a long time. Rich says, you got to go see Matt. You got to see what's going on. Katz has, you know, run the PR world in golf for a long time. And I said, well, you know, I have, I'll go and I'll take a leap of faith on this and go talk to Matt about this. But why are you at the PGA Merchandise Show, which is golf, with a tennis apparel company?
So we've been looking for a place to kind of relaunch the brand. As you said, it's been around since the early 70s, 73. And it's been kind of a direct-to-consumer brand for a number of years. But in order to really relaunch properly, I felt that we needed to be where the country club buyers are. And, you know, not many of the country clubs in the country have a tennis program and a tennis, you know, program. So I thought that if we could be here and kind of push our racket sport brand into the community of the PGA Show, it would be a good fit for us.
So the apparel industry is really interesting because there's so many facets, and there's sports apparel, and there's the athleisure and all these other kind of terms that have been created over time. It's nowadays companies like Callaway, they want their own clothing, but they just go and buy a company. So why did you buy a company instead of start a company?
Mostly because of the DNA of this specific brand. You know, to start a new brand in today's marketplace, I think it would be very, very difficult. Whereas Boast, for the most of the people that played tennis or any kind of racket sports in the 70s, 80s, 90s, they remembered this brand, or they still remember the brand. And we're getting a lot of, hey, you're back, and where have you been? And so I think in terms of having access to the market, it was, I would think, hopefully a little easier to have a brand with some brand recognition than just starting from scratch.
All right, so you're based in Connecticut, you're back in Connecticut, the hotbed for golf. Why Connecticut? Other than heritage, obviously.
Well, the company was founded in Greenwich, Connecticut. The headquarters still have some roots in Connecticut. But, you know, we're definitely don't want to be just an East Coast brand. We're very focused on expanding our footprint. Most of the clubs we're opening the doors of now are in Florida and Texas. And we're really focused on California and Arizona.
So as far as the reintroduction and the distribution kind of goes hand in hand, you've got to come in and try to reinvigorate a brand and then take it to the next step or next level, if you will, from that standpoint. How do you do that with a small company like Boast that you're trying to jettison to the top?
I've been surrounding myself so far with a really good team. You know, I've hired a great PR firm, a great wholesale sales manager. I have a great chief brand officer. And, you know, we're spending money on events. Like we did an event at Madison Square Garden called Tennis Night Out. We're going to do Desert Smash in California. So we're seeding some younger kids, ball kids at these events. And we're just really trying to get our brand recognition out there, you know, in an organic way.
And speaking of the brand, there's a maple leaf involved. It's not the Canadian maple leaf. It's a Japanese maple leaf. In Connecticut. So bring that full circle for me. I have a Japanese maple tree in my front yard in Washington, D.C., but, you know, I don't usually see those on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, the original founder picked the leaf because it was a symbol of strength. He wanted to compete in a world where Fila and Aless and Tikini were hot back then in the 70s, and he wanted to start this American brand, and he thought a Japanese maple would be an interesting logo. Clearly, it looks like some other leaves, but we're very focused on the heritage of the Japanese maple.
Thank you, Matt Fuhrer. We'll be back on TW with Keith Jones.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee. What am I giving the driver? He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. We are in Orlando at the PGA Merchandise Show, and we had to come to Orlando just to find our longtime friend, Dr. Greg Rose, who is co-founder of TPI. And good to see you, Doc.
Long time friend. Wait, what's your name again? Sorry.
I said hour long time friend.
I've known you forever.
Yeah. I guess because I was your first test dummy.
Yes,
you
were.
You started this. This crazy guy who was a chiropractor went to University of Maryland, proud Terp, and he comes up with this idea of golf fitness. Now, you did this decades ago.
Hold on, before we do this, your listeners need to know, before that, you and I, and a long drive guy, and a soft spikes guy. Do you remember this?
Yes.
We're going to do a golf guys radio show.
At my house.
Almost did that.
Yeah, we did. And we still should have done that. But yeah. So Kelly Elvin is down. I don't know what Greg Walker is. He's still the maniac.
He's doing great.
I know you talk to him more than I do. Elvin is down in Florida somewhere. You got this TV. I'm glad you remember that.
And
that's one of the reasons I like having you on the show, because you know a bunch of stuff that a lot of people are just learning, and you've been doing this for a long time, and I see you smiling. It's pretty funny because you're a very, very unassuming guy. However, you are like the godfather of this golf fitness part of the industry now.
Yeah, so we obviously, with the support of one of the best brands in golf, Titleist, try to put a lot of energy and thought behind how to keep golfers playing longer and enjoying the game more, right? So if you think about it, I always say to my professional players, name another sport that you can make millions in your 60s. I mean, look at Bernhard Langer. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? So how do you keep an athlete going for 40 years? That's a monumental task, if you really think about it. And as an equipment manufacturer, you know, if you play longer, this is great for us. You're playing our products, you're doing stuff. So the beautiful thing about this is, with the support of Titleist, we started going down this venture what do golfers need to do to be able to play better, be able to hit it farther, and more importantly, do it longer?
Yeah, but, you know, a guy named Wally Uline, who retired from the industry, long time at Titleist, he saw something in you guys, and he was always an innovator, one of the innovators in the industry anyway. But for him to come to you and say, let's do this, because what you started doing, you were like the mad scientist, and I remember being strapped, and you had all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, do I have to work out this hard just to play golf?
That was it. Back in the day, I think we had to spend time and effort to convince people that working out was important, right? Because this was foreign from the golf. Everyone's like, what do you mean? We drive a golf cart, we drink beer, and we swing. Like, what's this got to do with fitness, right? And they'll point at, like, look at John Daly. He doesn't look very fit, right? And then I'd say to them, I go, okay, you point John Daly. I go, let me ask you a question. Do you think you're more flexible than John Daly? Do you think you're more powerful than John Daly? Because the answer is no, you're not, right? He's got incredible power, incredible flexibility. So there are key things in the world of fitness that we know that are important. It might not be what you think of, like, if you look at a bodybuilder, but I think Wally kind of saw that, you know, hey, if the avid golfer is put under stress and they're playing three times a week and they're doing this for their whole career, if we don't do something, you know, our avid customer could be breaking down, right? And, you know, back in the day, like you said, we had some rudimentary technology to try and really understand the body, right? I think now it's amazing. Like here at the PGA Show, it's almost like every booth is a piece of technology to analyze how your body works and how you create force and how you transfer through your body. And it's amazing what we can do now and what we've learned. And it's incredible. I mean, simple things we can do to keep you playing for 40, 50, 60 years.
Yeah, Titleist Performance Institute, you got certification, you have a lot of people of it. So as the Pied Piper, you're walking around, and yes, I've got Titleist behind me, which is important, you get your own entity and stuff, but you still got to talk people into getting certified, which takes time, which takes money, what your resources.
Yeah, like, well, I forgot where I was going on that. I said before, we used to say we had to convince you to work out, right? Now we don't need to do that. The best players in the world have proven it. Like, they're athletes, they're doing stuff. Now people are like, what should I do? They, like before, like you said, they'd be like, why do I need to work out? They don't say that anymore. They're like, I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, right? And I feel like, you know, one of the things we did is we said, we need experts out there in the world that can kind of guide people on what's the right way to do this. So we created at Tylos, we created a certification called TPI. We now, believe it or not, we have 35,000 certified professionals in 64 countries. We teach in 10 languages. And basically, it's hard to find a place in the world where you can't do within 15 to 20 minutes of your house, have an expert evaluate you, figure out some simple things you can do to keep you going, make you hit it farther, make you enjoy the game better. Just with some simple tools right in your house.
You've made a lot of air miles over the years. How many languages do you know now?
When you get on a plane, the pilot goes, hey, Greg, you know you've been flying too long.
What language did he say that to you in? How many languages?
Exactly,
do you
Swahili.
Know? You have. Did you think this journey would ever be to this extent?
I mean, look where you're standing right now. We're in the health and fitness section of the PGA Show. The PGA Show has an entire section dedicated to this space. When we met, Keith, there wasn't golf fitness business, right? Now it's an entire segment of the show. We have a stage over here where we have speakers. So we never would have dreamed that it would have gone this crazy. But it makes sense. It's not like this isn't like brain surgery. It's obvious this matters.
Yeah, he's a doctor, but it's of chiropractic medicine. It's not brain surgery. But
exactly.
That aside, no, you have done a lot of things. You've always been an innovator because you had Advantage Golf, which is why I first worked with you. And then you went and you opened one, to my knowledge, one of the first golf-specific gyms.
Club Golf. Dude, I heard a great story that I'm going to tell your audience. So I was on a panel yesterday for the Golf Fitness Association. Right, there's actually an association now for golf fitness. And it was me, Dave Phillips, and Dave Ledbetter getting an award, right? And we got on there. And the guy that is the CEO, Steven, was telling a story. He was like, hey, Greg, you know I'm from D.C. And I'm like, he's been all over, but he lives in D.C., and he's an ex-Army Ranger, but he's part of the Secret Service detail, and he was on Clinton's detail. And he said back in 2000, he goes, you don't know this, but back in 2000, at your facility, Club Golf, which is where we used to do stuff, he goes, one day Bill Clinton came up to us and said, I want to go hit balls, and I heard about this place where you get all hooked up. He goes, us in four details drove to Club Golf. They parked. He said the Secret Service got out, looked at it, and said there was too many people in there. Sorry, we can't secure it, and they drove away. Isn't that great? I was like, are you kidding me, Bill? I'm like, you know, you could have called me. I'm like,
so I'm going to take it. So from that gym, there were some sand involved and stuff, and it was
indoor
place.
Bunkers. We had 3D.
Now my friend Kai Fuser, who worked a long time with Annika, has gotten together with Dylan Ross PGA, and they've got Golf Fusion. I don't know if you've been to Palm Beach to see that facility or not.
I haven't seen it yet, but I know Kai very well, and I'm sure it's amazing.
That was Dylan's brain thrust, but I'm thinking that is Club Golf on steroids.
There's places like Urban Golf on the West Coast. There are facilities like this popping up everywhere because guess what? The consumer's asking for it now. Like they want to. It's not just, hey, where can I go hit balls? It's like, where can I work on my body? Where can I hit balls? Where can I? Yeah, all the details that are now we realize are important. A lot of these facilities are bringing to light, which is pretty cool.
Well, you must be a proud pop in a lot of areas.
Very much so.
Because you see the extensions of. I see Dr. Greg Rose Jr. is running around all over the place espousing.
That's a scary thought.
Body metrics and biometrics and all. It is a scary thought, by the way, yes, for those playing along at home. So we're with Dr. Greg Rose on TW Keith Jones from the PGA Show in Orlando, where we've been our 26th year, which is insane. And I guess that means the radio show has been going on for that long as well, which is also insane. But
I think at one point I was the golf doctor for the Tee It Up with Keith Jones.
You know, and
show.
Then you got so big.
Never got a phone call anymore. I just want to make this really clear.
He never answered phone calls. You know, you couldn't get an autograph and then you couldn't get the phone answered. That's the issue there. That's what was happening there. But that's why as soon as Phil said, there he is, Phil got the duct tape out and now Dr. Greg Rose is duct taped to this chair for the next, seven minutes or so. But no, in all seriousness, though, you get together with Dave Phillips, who is a PGA professional, and you create this TPI thing, and then this whole, I was going to ask you what the GFAA is, and it's Golf Fitness Association of America, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you got to have an association if you have a real thing. This is also, you should be the emeritus, right? You should be the board member emeritus on this. You probably are. He's not gonna
manage. Well, no, that's actually through like PGA Magazine, and PGA kind of put that thing together. But like I said, what a cool thing to, you know, that it's actually people do this for a living now, full time. Like they go to school to learn this now. In Korea, you can earn college credits doing this now, right? Like that this never existed, which is really, really cool. So like if you're into golf and you're into the fitness side, there's a profession for you out there now. There's a professional organization, and there's country clubs, there's facilities all over the world that are looking for experts. Look at Life Fitness, who's next to us, right? The biggest equipment manufacturer in the world. They used to go to country clubs, and they would put gyms in. And the gym owner or the country club owner would be like, well, that's just an expense. Like, we don't want to do that. They found that if they found a golf fitness expert that would help run the facility, that all of a sudden, hey, these are non-member dues, and the members really want to take, you know, lessons and training. And they all of a sudden become revenue centers. They're not expense centers anymore. I mean, it's changed the entire industry from fitness and putting in gyms and facilities.
I wonder who helped start that. I can't imagine. It's probably my guest for this segment, Dr. Greg Rose. Yeah, I know him. His head's getting larger. He is duct taped, so only his head can move in this situation. But you look at this, and how many times you step back? Or do you ever? Because I've never known you to be. You're one of those guys. It's like, not mean. I don't look at anybody.
Listen, I'm super thankful, super proud of what's been built. Like I said, never would have thought that I would have been teaching this in 9 provinces in China. You know, there's no chance I would ever thought. But it's always awesome validation of like your life's work, that people find it important enough to move the needle and say when you're not here, it's going to keep going. And I'm super proud.
How many honorary degrees from the University of Korea do you have? They love you in Korea.
I'm telling you, man, I've been places that I didn't even know places existed, which is pretty cool.
So
I'm actually going trekking for wild orangutans in April in Borneo. Like, I mean, I'm all over the place. Like, while we're over there, we might do a little lecture somewhere, but it's like this job, I never thought it would lead me to all parts of the globe. For 12 years, I was on 5 continents by April. That's pretty crazy.
Do you ever travel with your clubs?
I've played in some really. I can't complain, because if I complain, someone's going to be like, "Listen to this guy complaining." But I don't play a lot. But when I do, I get some really crazy invitations, some golf courses that are amazing.
So clubs are not going to Borneo, or they might be going to Borneo with you. They going on this trip to Borneo with you?
Clubs are not good. I don't think I can trek my clubs through the jungle there.
Of all people, if you're not in shape by now after all these years, it's not going to happen, man. Come on.
You know, I'm really looking forward to it.
You would think that he would be muscular.
We're going to Singapore after. The clubs might come out there.
Oh, okay, yeah. Singapore. Yeah, so they're going to get there. You know, exactly. Yeah, Phil's going to walk around a little bit. With this industry and what it's become, and everything that you're doing, what's next for Greg Rose?
So I would say for my entire profession was trying to take care of our players at Titleist, build an army of people that can help them, the TPI certified. It's always been like B2B. Like, we're always trying to educate our golf professionals, educate our fitness professionals, educate our medical professionals. I think now at Titleist, I think we're all realizing that there's also some things we could do directly to the consumer as well, people who buy our products, and just trying to help educate the masses. So I think we're going to be doing a lot of stuff on that to help drive some of the public, you know, into our certified world, just they can see it and just educate them more on this topic. You know, before we used to have the channel, the Golf Fitness Academy on the Golf Show, on the Golf Channel. Now with obviously internet and social media and stuff, you can get the word out globally really, really quick on stuff like this. So I think our future, lots more content. We're doing lots of content production, just trying to highlight the importance of this. We're always trying to find the latest cutting edge technology to see what we can't measure. Like, you know, forever we've been measuring ground force, like how much you're pushing from the ground. We now have stuff in the grip to see how much is it making it to the grip and how much you're applying with your upper body. There's always something new. Every time you think you know what's going on, you realize how little you know.
Yeah, but you know, even with the online content, you were way ahead of the curve on that. You were doing that stuff way before anybody else was doing.
We did get lucky. Before COVID, we had a lot of our stuff online, and I think the world, we used to, like I said, try to convince them, like, hey, you can still learn well online. Everyone's like, no, I want to do it live. Now we have the opposite problem, trying to convince them to go back to live. Everybody likes online because you got forced to do that during COVID.
Yeah.
Like, we had an online, one of our level one workshops last week at TPI. It was just virtual. You log in, we had 425 people logged in. we have a live one here starting today at 4 o'clock. We have 100 people here. In the past, it was the other way around. Live would be 400, online would be like, but that's thanks to COVID. People have really got comfortable learning from their home.
Well, you know, that has helped. COVID helped the golf industry tremendously. The playability went up. I mean, it's the only thing.
People keep asking me, like, what's the next golf ball? I'm like, we're not developing the next golf ball. We're developing the next virus, because it was one of the best things that ever happened. It was the perfect social distancing sport, right? Like, it was the sport that you could go do. You could go out and play golf, and it was just, there was industries that just got absolutely destroyed, and there was industries that benefited. Golf was one of those that benefited from it.
Well, you benefited because you didn't have to travel around as much.
Well, it definitely helped me personally, because, like I said, my travel schedule is probably 40% of what it used to be.
Do you have one airline of choice, or do you fly depending on where you're going?
I always like to try and fly direct, but I would say from where I live, United's usually my airline of choice right now.
All right. Yeah. You know, it's great to run into you. You have to swear right now, because it'll be on the show. They said verbally, it'll be on record that you are going to come on the show a time or two again as this year
I
goes
was
on.
The official golf doctor of Teed Up with Keith Jones, and he stopped calling me. So as soon as he calls me, then that's going to happen again. That's officially on record.
Now he needs to get an assistant that picks up the phone when I call, and then we'll be okay.
Oh, you mean I need to unblock your number? Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly right. Dr. Greg Rose, the godfather of this golf business world that we now live in. Thanks, Greg. Really appreciate it. I was one of
as always, buddy.
Test
pleasure.
Dummies, and believe me, you have no idea what I had to go through with this guy. But we'll be back on Teed Up with Keith Jones after this break.
Hi, this is Ben Wright. No, it isn't. I'm Ben Wright. Because if I was talking about this is Ben Wright, it would be referring to an inanimate object. And there's a lot of people out there who probably wish I was an inanimate object. But anyhow, Teed Up with Keith Jones is going to be back in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Lee Elder. If you want to hear the issues about the golf world, Tee It Up with Keith Jones is the place to listen to.
And it's amazing at the PGA Show, what a weekend it's been. And of course, we have to visit our friends at Duca del Cosma, because the CEO is present. Usually he's hanging out in Amsterdam. Now, he's originally from South Africa, but he's in Amsterdam now, which is dangerous in itself. You know, we love the Dutch, but to have a South African in Amsterdam is concerning. But we welcome Dolph Stoffberg, the CEO of Duca, to Teed Up with Keith Jones. Great to see you. Thanks so much for giving us a little bit of time, because you're a busy man. A lot of things going on for spring and summer with Duca, and it's such an innovative kind of company.
No, thank you, Keith. Thanks for having me. I think, you know, Duca del Cosma is built on the DNA of being different. In our slogan, it's Italian golf evolution. So, you know, we got to keep on evolving. It's never stop. It's pushing to test the limits and to see how can we get better design, better technologies, improve product. Loving it.
You know, it's a very high-end shoe line. However, technology has really become a part of the design game and stuff. But for an Italian-based fashion company, there are very few Italians working for the company.
No, that's true. the founder of the brand, Baldovino Matiazzo, he's still with the business. So he is the creative director and gives that Italian flair. But obviously the head office is based in the Netherlands, and due to that, obviously we've got a few less Italians in the actual company at the moment.
Amsterdam has it's a melting pot, has a lot of people, but yeah. And Frank is here at the show too, which is always great to see him and his wife. And you have been tasked with bringing this company to the next level, if that's feasibly possible, because you're already high-end, and when you're high-end, that's a great place to start, but it's hard to take it to an ultra high end. But you have gone and helped transform this company and made it more for the everyday person, besides just the top buyers in the world.
Yeah, for sure. I think what we found is golf is tradition, but golf is also evolution and expression. And what we've now done, and I with our new Spring Summer 25 collection is being able to put a footwear collection together that a golfer of any format, pro, first timer, they all can express themselves. So we've built a few categories with classic collection and evolution kind of sneaker collection, but it gives the golfer the opportunity to find a Duca shoe that fits his or her style to wear.
What are you most proud of shoe-wise at Duca?
In terms of models? Or
in terms of model, in terms of innovation, in terms of anything that you think really has set a new standard for the shoe industry?
I think what I'm really proud of the team and what the team has accomplished is to almost merge and fuse the DNA of really craftsmanship in the design, but being able to innovate it and merge it with new technologies based on market demand and where the market has moved to. So we've introduced a brand new InnerSole technology to even increase our current comfort levels. We've now developed two new outsole and midsole technologies that gives you a really like a fusion between fashion and functionality. And it just gives that the golfer or the everyday person the chance to wear the shoes on and off the course.
Well, Dolph, innovation has been big in the shoe part of the company, but now you guys decided to get into some apparel. As I was standing here talking with you, you have the new Duca Polo, and then you have the quarter zip as well. So what are you thinking? Why are you trying to do apparel now?
Apparel is obviously quite an intense shark business, I think. So for us, we get a lot of demand for product to complement the footwear. And that's our approach with the apparel at the moment. So we've launched a very selective capsule of specific items. So not going with a wide assortment, but it complements the footwear then and the color palettes that we have, but also offering a bit of a different branded apparel line for the golfer.
So it's going to be amazing 25 for Duca, Dolph Cosmo. We appreciate you spending time with us. Dolph Stoffberg, CEO of Duca, with us on TW Keith Jones.